It's showtime!
Get up! I want everybody up! Get out of your seats and get on your feet! Welcome to Where Rock Meets Roll, Heavy Beats Metal, and Out Meet Law. Ladies and gentlemen, let them hear you!
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Midwest Auto Sports Podcast. My name is Lauren, Big Contact Kelly, and I'm here, as always,
with Will Midpack Garrett.
Will Midpack Garrett.
Love
Which
it.
Is funnily enough.
Yeah.
All right. I did a Skip Barber race at Spa. There's 20 cars. I finished 10th today.
In real life? You flew to Spa?
Yeah. Huh. No, cool. iRacing. That was, yeah, okay. I've been trying to grind the road course thing because I want to race Formula One next season.
Yeah,
so
that's the natural progression, isn't it? From Skip Barber F2000 straight to Formula.
Well, I did an F3.5 race today.
Oh well, that's in the middle somewhere.
That's
the mid pack of Formula cars.
It is what F2 is now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, as always, here at the Midwest Auto Sports Podcast, we are presented by Sage Fruit. Sage Fruit is a high-quality grower, packer, and shipper of Washington State apples, pears, and cherries. We work hard at the farm, in the packing houses, and in sales to deliver an exceptional eating experience to our customers. For the past 17 years, Sage Fruit has been a proud sponsor of Sprint Cars and Sprint Car Racing. We value our relationship with Sprint Car fans and appreciate your continued support of Sage Fruit. Ask for Sage Fruit at your local grocer. Sage Fruit, an exceptional eating experience. Could you be any louder?
I could be.
Oh my God. Good Lord.
Anywho,
what do we got on the show this week?
So we are going, we don't have that much news, if I'm going to be honest.
A lot of asphalt stuff.
Yeah, and maybe we'll go on like some tangents or whatever. We don't know what's happening anymore. So we got asphalt, we got like a few things in dirt. One rumor mill thing. My nose is super itchy right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, allergies been bad recently, too.
We got to talk about some feature winners. It looks like there's three. Yeah. Along with our own Midwest Auto Sports iRacing series. We got some upcoming races and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but first, we're going to kick things off with our news presented by QualityFreightRate.com. The auto racing family is like no other fan base on the planet. Loyal, hardworking, blue-collar, and kind people all gathering for a common purpose day in and day out at local racetracks around the world. And that's exactly what you'll find at QualityFreightRate.com. Shipping all over North America, Quality Freight Rate works with thousands of companies and has over 27 years of shipping experience. And we do it all for less. Use code TEAMMAS for 10% off your first shipping quote at QualityFreightRate.com. And we're going to kick things off with IMSA. They had their season finale this last weekend, Sports Cars. Did you watch any of this race?
I did, actually.
It was insane.
I had a Friendsgiving thing.
Friendsgiving?
Yeah, my buddy Juan, he goes to Mexico.
Oh, like Thanksgiving, but...
Yeah, right, but friends. Okay. But it was also kind of a Christmas thing because I have to like bring a gift. And we did an exchange. Because my homeboy Juan, all right, he goes to Mexico for a month in December just to be with family. And he also, like...
How many Juan?
Juan. I know. Yeah, so it's kind of like a Christmas with the boys for Juan and also Thanksgiving. And I was watching it because they didn't invite... They said, Will, you can't come until 6. You're always in the way, whatever. I'll sit at home and watch the endurance race.
Nice.
So I watched that. I don't know. I don't really like Sebring.
I don't like Sebring either, but we were actually, funny enough, our guest this week, we were having a debate about Sebring, and so I texted Sean Rahal because he's driven on Sebring, and I said, opinion, Sebring or Road America? And he said Sebring.
He's canceled. I'm going to delete his interview.
No, but that was really interesting to me because I've always thought that Road America is kind of a driver's track, but he just said it's mega with all the history that's there, and it's just so technical with all the bumps and everything. It's just, it takes a really good driver to race well there. And of course, he says that because he's raced well there. I had low expectations for this weekend just because Sebring is really rough on cars, and it did show. But I think at one point, all three of the DPI cars, which is like LMP1 kind of, sort of, but
just it's a LMP2. It's a LMP2 car that's a little faster,
right? Just with more power or more downforce.
Both.
So just kind of upgraded a little bit. So basically, they had three DPI teams that could win the championship going into the last round, which I don't remember the last time that it was that close. And that, I think that's a good testament to IMSA's BOP, their balance of performance, just to have three teams that close throughout the whole entire season. But all three of them at one point were more than a lap down. So all three of them were like down and out, and it was kind of like a crapshoot as to who was going to win the title. The number seven Penske team Acura DPI, driven by Ricky Taylor, Elio Castroneves, and then somebody else was tagged on for the 12-hour race. I don't remember who it was. I think they finished the race four laps down and won the championship because the other two had also struggled. They won it by 1 point over the number 10 Cadillac, is the Konica Minolta team with Ryan Briscoe and Ranger Van de Zanden.
No, isn't that Wayne Taylor, the number 10?
That is Wayne Taylor, but none of the Taylor boys race for that team anymore.
Yeah, but it's still called Wayne Taylor Racing.
Yeah, but it's with Konica Minolta and all that.
I don't know who those are.
It's just the sponsor.
Oh.
But then third place was only 5 points back, and that was the number 55 Mazda with Jonathan Bomarino and Harry Tinknell. And also, that meant that Penske Team Acura won the manufacturer's title by 1 point.
Hmm.
And it went down, like, apparently it was kind of one of those deals where it was that, like, Hamilton, like, is that Glock thing? Or, like, they had to make up, like, a position in the last, like, 10 minutes or something like that. And they did. And then they won the title.
Hmm.
So, and I think the other Mazda won the race, the number 75, or the 77. So, it was an incredible race. LMP2 championship was won by the number 52. All of the LMP2 cars, I think, they are Orcas.
Yeah, like, they are all Orcas.
It's like a spec class.
They're like, I don't know, there's four of them. There's four LMP2 cars in the race.
Was there only four?
There was only four.
I know there was like three or four. But
that's just,
it's kind of a dying class. It's not too much more expensive, I don't think, to run a DPI than it is to run an LMP2. So,
from the sounds of it, they're the same frame. They're like the same basic structure of a car.
Yeah. Because I know, like, obviously there's different manufacturers in DPI, but they all look pretty much exactly the same. Although the new Acura for, was it next year? That thing looks
amazing. It looks pretty much, I don't know, it kind of looks similar to the Acura this year.
It looks similar, but it's, the one this year looks amazing too, with how the nose swoops underneath that front spoiler kind of thing. It looks so badass. And then GTLM was a really, really good battle too, kind of up to the end. But the number three Corvette CR8 took the championship, Antonio Garcia, Jordan Taylor. And then GTD was a really close title fight as well. Michael Shank Racing took the championship in the number 86 Acura NSX GT3. In my opinion, that's the best looking car in like anywhere. Mario Farnbacher and Matt McMurray. And they only won by 2 points over the Ryan Hardwick, Patrick Long, Wright Motorsports, number 16 Porsche. So, after 12 hours of racing in that whole entire season, those championships came down to the wire. So that was really, really cool. I thought it was a fantastic race. There were so many people crashing out and stuff. It was great.
Yeah, the two Lexuses crashed at the same time.
There was oil on the track, I think, from one of the Corvettes. I think it was the number four. And he laid it down throughout the last corner, right? That was 17. Is that what that turn is? 17? And the both Lexuses just going to the corner and, like, simultaneously just pirouette into the tire barrier. That was kind of a bummer.
In bigger road course news,
yes,
Lewis Hamilton is a 7-time Formula One world champion.
Unreal. And yep. He now, according to, what was it, F1.com, or was it WTF1?
It was WTF1.
WTF1, according to them, he now holds 36 different all-time Formula One records.
I don't know how many all-time records there are. Is that good or bad?
36 of them. But that's it's unbelievable.
There's probably like some super like specific
ESPN stats.
Yeah, ESPN stats.
But it's still
most laps driven by a man named Lewis. He probably holds that one.
Probably that. But we also like we're going to talk about the results from this race in Turkey. I mean, it was a turkey shoot. Get it? Turkey shoot.
I don't get it.
Crap shoot. But it was an amazing race in the wet. Wet races are always so much better than dry races in F1 just because it throws everything for a huge curveball. Like Lance Stroll was on pole and he was on track to win until, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but he had some unknown damage on his front wing that kept him from continuing to lead. Probably would have won the race if that didn't happen, because his teammates finished in second and they were on the exact same strategy. But I think Valtteri Bottas, he's second in the championship and he spun 6 times
in the race. I saw the highlights and on the comms, the team chatter, they let him know that it was like 5 laps to go. Mm-hmm. He goes, I wish it was less.
Yeah, he did not have a good day. I think he finished like 14th or something like that. But that basically wrapped up the title for Lewis. But I think going into the race, if he had won, he would have won the title either way. So there was nothing Valtteri could have done either way. So, but he started 6th. So it's not like he didn't have to work for it. Hmm. He didn't get this one handed to him. So also his worst qualifying, I think, they said in like 3 or 4 years, it was Lewis's worst qualifying, where he started 6th. So, pretty crazy. And we're going to get to the results and the rest from that race in a little bit. But some tag notes on the race. Max Verstappen struggled. And apparently, I just saw this news report today. His team fit the front wing on incorrectly during a pit stop. How do you even, like, how many times have they replaced the front wing in Red Bull's career and they screw it up?
Mistakes happen.
Isn't it like 2 bolts that you just put in the top and screw it in and then it just kind of sits there?
I have no idea.
But yeah, apparently it was just like a little bit loose for like the whole second half of the race, and that's why he was spinning all over the place and just couldn't go anywhere. So, and then Charles Leclerc, really good race for Ferrari, definitely their best of the season. They finished 3rd and 4th. Apparently that car's good in the wet. It's just about the worst car on track in the dry, but they finished 3rd and 4th, and Charles was up to 2nd on the last lap, locked up going into one of the last corners and gave 2 places away. Gave away 2nd and gave away 3rd and ended up finishing 4th behind his teammate Sebastian Vettel. And he like destroyed himself on the radio after
He was upset.
Oh my gosh, like he was saying how he did a crap job, except he didn't say crap, and just like his team tried to say you did a good job and he was like, no, it was terrible, and like really bad. And even in the post-race interview, he was still swearing. He was swearing at Will Buxton. I don't know if I've ever seen Leclerc that mad over anything. Like, I know he's called himself stupid in the past, like when he's crashed. But he was, like, yelling at reporters and stuff after the race because he was so angry with himself. Hmm. So, not a good look for Ferrari there, but I mean, I guess that's the attitude you kind of want to have. And then we're going to go on just a little bit of NASCAR stuff here because their season's obviously done. But the silly season doesn't stop, and they're testing their new car this offseason. And you put these in here, so.
Yeah, I put these in here. The next-gen car is testing. They started yesterday and they'll finish up Thursday. Mm. So they were.
It sounds nice.
They're on the Roval yesterday and today at Charlotte. And I guess.
Did you see the video?
Yeah. I watched a whole bunch of it.
I think it sounds gorgeous.
I want to see what they look like with the manufacturer like identity on it. Like, yeah. I'm not really convinced.
Right now it's like a bland matte black and like.
It looks like a Hot Wheels car right now.
With a little blue in it, yeah. It's really weird.
But. Kurt Busch said, and Martin Truex Jr. are the test drivers. They have 2 cars there. One's made by Action Express Racing.
Oh.
And the other one's made by Richard Childress Racing / NASCAR. And the both drivers had everything good to say with it. They said it's more efficient at braking, accelerating, turning, and everything all around. Overall, they were 3 seconds faster than what the... At the end of the day, last night, they went until like 8 o'clock. They were 3 seconds faster than what they ran
this year
at the Roval.
Wow.
And they had 100 horsepower less than what they...
So it's just lighter?
No.
No?
It's a 6-speed sequential. They have bigger brakes. It's more adapt to road course racing.
Okay. Huh. That's interesting.
So yeah, I like it. I mean, it looks like it's going to be fast. I don't know if faster means better racing or not, but I don't know. I'm just glad they got away from the 5 lug nut thing.
Oh, is it 1 lug nut now?
Yeah, it's 1 lug nut.
F1 pit stops. Let's go.
Well, they still need a jackman. I think what really makes a NASCAR pit stop is the jackman.
Jackman and the gas can.
Yeah, the gas can guy. Although I wouldn't really mind if they had like a boom thing like the F1.
I think it looks F1
used to have. It just kind of like sits over constantly. Yeah. I don't know. And it was the last LMP1 race in Bahrain or wherever they were, World Endurance Championship.
Did you see that the F1's going to race on the WEC layout in Bahrain and they called it an oval?
Yeah, they're calling it an oval, but it has like 13 turns still. Yeah. It's like, you guys are stupid.
Yeah, you don't know what an oval is. I'm sorry.
But all these F1 drivers who are looking at IndyCar don't want to do it because they're too scared to oval. Like, okay, you're calling this an oval. Get on a real oval.
Get on a real oval then. But then this one is a little perplexing to me. 23XI... Which is
2311.
Yeah. Racing plans to expand to 4 cars at some point.
This was kind of leaked. Like, this probably wasn't supposed to get out. Like, so Denny Hamlin posted on his story. Like, obviously, they're 2311, Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin. They have a team being built up. They're going to run under the Levine Family Racing Shop for now until they can build their own. But in like, the blueprints for their building, there was, like, room for like 4 show cars in the front. There was 4 crew chief offices and there was room for 4 haulers and shops in the garage area.
Here's my thing with this. I get that Michael Jordan has just about unlimited money. Denny Hamlin has a lot of money as well. And the problem that I see with this is I don't see any outside partners
yet,
and I'm sure I'm sure they will, but to have a plan for 4 cars at some point, but then not have the partners lined up to get you there is a little bit worrying.
Just with the charters, just the way the backside of the NASCAR business, from just what I've heard and whatnot, having 4 cars, no matter what sponsorships you have, is more economically viable than running just 2 or 3 or 1. It just makes more sense
because you have charters. Just have 1 car next year, correct?
Yeah, just with Bubba Wallace. Hmm. But that's what Rick Hendrick and Tony Stewart said. It makes more sense having 4 than it does having 3 and having to constantly. Because you can, if you have 1 car, you have a bunch of people on 1 car. But if you have 2 cars, it makes more sense because you have some guys can do a little bit of both on each.
Yeah.
So you have more shared responsibilities for how the more cars you have, and it just saves money on just personnel alone, not alone with not even getting into the logistics part of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That should be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they get 4 cars, I mean, all the better to them. I really hope they do well next season with Bubba Wallace, and I don't think they're going to set the world on fire, but, you know.
And this is all setting up for the NASCAR Next Gen. They're just flipping the whole business of NASCAR on its head.
Business model is completely going.
It's going to be almost not spec, but I mean, all these, they're all getting the same frames no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to save a lot of costs. I think it's going to be more apt for people to do this. Like, you see Justin Marks buying a team,
mm-hmm,
and all these other guys buying teams. But let's talk about dirt for a little bit.
A very little bit.
Two things.
There's not a whole lot of dirt news from the past week. Did we talk about last week that Flow Racing is getting ASCS, Chili Bowl, and The Tuscaloosa. Oh, yeah, you put it right there. I didn't see that. But, yes, the Chili Bowl is going to go on with limited fans, I believe. And did you jump on your tickets already for that?
No. No,
you better jump on your tickets.
No, the pits are unlimited.
Pits are unlimited. Okay, well, there you go. But the Chili Bowl, the, what is it? The Tuscaloosa, no, shootout, something. I don't know why I'm.
The Tulsa Shootout?
Tulsa Shootout. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. Tulsa Shootout and ASCS next year, all on Flow Racing. So they basically, I don't know if Flow just acquired Racing Boys or if Racing Boys dropped ASCS.
I think they probably undercut them, honestly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's a 10-year deal, too, with the Chili Bowl.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, we both love Flow.
I haven't bought it yet.
You haven't bought it yet,
but I like them.
It's good. I mean, you've seen the broadcasts, though. We were all here watching the Governor's Reign.
Yeah.
And that was, in my opinion, that was the best sprint car broadcast I've seen in a really, really long time.
Yeah, it was good. I think the only thing that is a thorn in their side is Dirt Vision. Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, they're the best.
Yeah, I mean, Dirt Vision is very good, but they definitely don't have the amount of series or tracks or partners that Flow Racing does even now. I know Dirt Vision has Dryden and all that stuff, but that's just due to the World of Outlaws, whereas Flow, they work with so many different tracks, so many different series, because now, and they're so much cheaper. Like, it's not even close. Flow Racing, I think, is $12.50 a month, but you have to pay for it yearly, so you pay $150 for the whole year, whereas Dirt Vision is $39.99 a month for three series, basically, and, like, two tracks.
But what they have in that is that World of Outlaws is the premier series. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's why people pay for it still.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at Flow, you get IRA, All-Stars, now ASCS, some USCS shows down south, and that's just sprint cars. They've got, like, drag racing and a bunch of fender car tracks, too, a lot of IMCA tracks. I know they've done some stuff at, like, 141 and stuff, like... they have a bunch of specific tracks every week, too. They have a lot of out in California, too, like Marysville, the 360 racing out there every single week. And USAC.
Yeah, USAC is a big one, too.
So, all right, Flow all the way for me, and I think that's fantastic that they got the Chili Bowl and everything like that. That's going to be huge, because that broadcast is going to be awesome. And the fact that they got Dirt on Dirt, too, now they have the Dome. As well, I know the Dome got canceled, but, you know, Flow still gets all those big late model races and stuff. So but that's really cool.
The last thing we have to talk about for Dirt is the sprint car, the all-time wins list since 2015.
Yeah, this was just posted by, I think it was Wikipedia, which is a really, really good Twitter page if you have Twitter. Well, if you don't have Twitter, I'd say get Twitter, because Twitter's the best news source for racing. It's so much better than Facebook, just because you can look at everything. You were talking about this.
Facebook is fine. Twitter's stupid. You said this months ago, but now he's like all in on it. I don't even go on Facebook anymore. This is dumb.
No, I don't use Facebook almost at all.
Oh, Twitter. We can talk about Twitter for a little bit. They have stories now.
They're called fleets.
Fleets.
What is that? I was talking about this earlier, and then I saw Brady McMahon tweeted like the exact same thing. Somebody had a board meeting and sat down and decided that they were going to call their version of stories fleets, which makes no sense. And then there was somebody that posted a picture of, I woke up and looked at Twitter this morning, and this was all I saw, and it was just a picture of Fleet Farm. It's really dumb.
But getting back on track.
Yeah. Wikipedia, very good page to follow on.
Yeah, Brian Twitter. Walker, he's the social media and PR guy for the World of Outlaw Late Model Series. Mm-hmm. And in his free time, he just...
Tweets about Kyle Larson.
No, just all sorts of racing stats in the dirt world.
He had a racing suit made for Kyle Larson
with
Wikipedia on it.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was really cool. But yeah, so he posted a list of the top 10 in sprint car wins in the nation. I think it was specifically 410 sprint car wins since 2015. Obviously, Donnie Schatz, number one, 120. Danny Dietrich was 76. Brad Sweet and David Gravel are tied for third and fourth with 57. Hmm. And Bill Balog is fifth nationally in 410 wins since 2015 with 56. He is one behind Brad Sweet and David Gravel.
And who's behind him?
Kyle Larson. 52, right?
Yeah, something like that. Most of that came this year, all but seven.
Yeah, I was going to say like 40 of them came this year, which is, that's crazy. I mean, granted, it's in a lot different circumstances than what Brad Sweet and David Gravel are racing against. But at the same time, to win 56 races in 5 years is an insane amount. And especially Donnie Schatz, 120.
Yeah, that's not a real number.
No, it's not a real number. Nope. Fake news.
Fake news. Yeah, recount.
Yeah. Stop the count. All right, but I think it's going to wrap it up for our news here. And we're going to get on to a very liquid nitro energy drink.
Oh, rumor mill.
We got rumor mill.
It's going to take like 3 seconds. They've pretty much signed Mick Schumacher and Mazepin, whatever his first name is, two rookies from F2.
Like Mazepin or something like that, some weird pronunciation.
Was that on wouldn't last slash, at Weber.
Was that on r/F1?
I don't know.
But
they're two rookies. Get rid of Romain Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen.
They already both announced that Kevin and Roman are gone after this year. And did you see that apparently only one driver contacted Romain Grosjean after they announced that he was leaving Haas? There was only one driver. And he's the head of the Drivers Association.
Is he really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He's like the dude that like speaks for the drivers at like all the board meetings and all that stuff. And he got one text from another driver. And he said it was George Russell.
George just wants someone to talk to.
He had another shocking race. This last weekend he spun out like coming out of the pit lane or something like that. Oh, poor George.
Yeah, he could have spun behind a safety car while in the points.
Could be worse.
Oh, wait.
All right. Liquid Nitro Energy Drink Winner's Circle. Let's see if I can.
Oh, before we get into this, let's see if we have any more comments on our Facebook.
Click to expand.
I've been going for 30 minutes here. We haven't really checked it since the beginning. Come on, load.
It's not loading. All right, well, let me read this ad. I'll come back to it. All right. Fuel up with the best. Liquid Nitro Energy Drink has all the power and fuel to get you through race day with zero crash or aftertaste. Vitamins B6 and B12 combined with powerful herbs and a great taste that will keep your engine running no matter what the day or track throws at you. Liquid Nitro is available in original Tropical Storm, low-carb energy shooters, and now CBD-infused water for a full line of powerful drinks to keep you fueled up for the long haul. Ask for Liquid Nitro in your local convenience stores and vending machines or visit liquidnitroenergydrink.com to place an order. And we're going to kick things off here. F1. Hamilton took the win, like we said earlier. Sergio Perez, after starting third, comes home second. And Sebastian Vettel, his first podium since last season in a Ferrari. Only second podium for Ferrari this entire season, I think. Charles had one earlier.
On like the first race.
Yeah, really early in the season. Awesome. That's equals Sergio Perez's best finish ever in F1, with second place there. I really think it's only a matter of time before Racing Point wins one of these things. Especially now that Mercedes has both titles wrapped up for Lewis and the constructors. I think that they're going
to
start.
I'd like to see Sergio get his, or yeah. Checo, or whatever he goes by.
He's probably leaving Racing Point at the end of the season.
Oh, he's out. Like,
yeah, yes. Pretty much done deal. I think him and Nico Hülkenberg are going to be the two hottest free agents now that Sebastian's been taken for a while, but now that he's off the market, I think both Sergio and Nico Hülkenberg are going to be hot commodities at the end of the season. What else we got here? USAC was really the only other thing racing this last weekend. There were a lot of like little races here and there. I didn't really pay too much attention to them.
but we normally just kind of cover the local stuff. And then the national stuff for us.
USAC, they were at Arizona Speedway this last weekend. Tanner Thorson took the win on night one in the midgets. Night two, Buddy Kilfoyd won. They had some like CRA sprint cars there as well. I think Tyler Courtney swept both nights.
Of course he did.
In 7
Legend. BC. He's a legend.
Oh, yeah. Got a little sunshine.
I was there when he won his first midget race. First ever midget race.
Seriously?
At Angel Park.
No way.
Yeah, it was his first midget race win ever.
Hmm.
It was kind of cool.
Awesome.
But the other thing that went on was our MAS E-Series race, but we'll look up the...
Presented by Sage Fruit.
Presented by Sage Fruit.
Chance Siskowski got his first win in our MAS E-Series this season.
Finally.
In our Phantom Outlaws 410 series. He took the win. Great battle with Austin Semmelman. You had a great co-call on that race, by the way.
Thanks. Nice job. Yeah, thank you. I'm a natural at everything.
Broadcasting debut for Will Garrett's went extremely well. And Max Stambaugh came home in third in that race. And I'm going to pull up our... Oh, wow. Made me log in again. Fantastic. Great job, iRacing. Love your website.
The Sage Fruit Sprint League at Weed Sport. I was practicing for that race with my iRacing motor.
No, we had... We had the Eldora race. I didn't update where the things were.
Oh.
Well, Weed Sport was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, I blew up before the Weed
Sport one. You did blow up before the Weed Sport one, and your computer blew up. Is your computer fixed now? Are you racing tonight?
Yeah, I was racing all day today.
Were you practicing for tonight?
No. Actually, me and Trevor did put up a hosted race in which Clint Boyer joined.
Nice.
And then Trevor Frank proceeded to cyberbully.
Clint Boyer. Oh, boy. You want to tell the people what he said?
No.
Probably can't. All right.
The Ballpark brand, Midget League.
Yes.
I raced in that one.
Fairbury. Good. Was it a good race? I wasn't there. I didn't even watch.
It was okay. I don't know. Carter Sarf won. I actually
really close between him and Chase for the win. Chase,
I saw myself. I saw myself as a danger to myself and others during the race, so I just pulled off. I just pulled off and watched the rest of the race. And Chase McDermott and Carter Sarf finished 0.093 seconds apart.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it.
And Tristan Higdon finished in third. Kind of a newcomer into our Sage Fruit E Series, and then the Sprint League was at Eldora. Wingless 360s. Austin Semmelman dominated that race. Just up against the wall for the entire thing. Zach Radart came home in second, 5.5 seconds back. That's how hooked up Austin Semmelman was in that one. Carter Sarf came home in third. He's actually won a race this season in our Sage Fruits E-Series. And then this week, we've got four races this week. Phantom Outlaws tonight. At, where are we tonight? Lernerville in the 410s. The Sprint League tomorrow is at Charlotte in 410s as well. Like our regular Sprint League is at 410s, or is at Charlotte in 410s. And then our Pro League race got rescheduled to this week in the Indy Pro 2000s at Road America. That's going to be really fun. And then Sunday midgets are somewhere. I don't know where they are.
Doesn't really matter.
Are they at Eldora? I feel like they might be at Eldora.
Ah, gross.
Yeah. Midgets at Eldora.
No, maybe Chili Bowl. I don't know.
No, we'll see. Not at Chili Bowl. Well, they might be at Chili Bowl, actually.
I'm looking forward to the Grand Prix that we're doing.
Nice. And Eric Wilkie just said that he won an official race at...
Anyway, let's look at the Facebook comments before we move on to our other...
It's a lot of banter between...
Okay, let's just... I'll take a look. Look at here. Oh, we already read that. Two hosts being serious. Jason Chilling and Jared Burba, they're getting along nicely. They're going to Hooters, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Okay, I'm good. In. I'm,
yeah. Trevor hates me.
Cool.
That was one of the comments. Cool. Fantastic. Moving on to the upcoming races, and then we can kind of close out the show.
Yes. So, upcoming races, F1 is off. Daytona, we have a little countdown here that I just changed. 89 days till the Daytona 500. World of Outlaws are done. But Western Springs and all that stuff in Australia and stuff. Speaking of flow racing, that's all on flow this off season. So really excited to watch some of that.
I like Western Springs.
Yeah.
It's a cool... It kind of reminds me of like Angel Park-esque mixed with like... It's got like that same shape, but it's flat.
Mm.
I don't know. I like their style of racing that they have over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got USAC Midgets. They're starting to round out their season out west.
November 17th. When is that? Is that this weekend?
Like,
that's not tonight.
Tonight.
Okay, wow. USAC racing tonight.
What? Yeah, that's correct. It definitely is the 17th. So, all right, cool. USAC tonight at Bakersfield Speedway. The Midgets starting to wrap up their season. They have two races left after tonight, I believe. A doubleheader at Merced. Speedway. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Merced. And then our E-Series, Phantom Outlaws 410s, like we said, tonight at Lernerville. And
check out your local sim racing degenerates. Go at it for...
Jesus.
35 laps or whatever it is.
It'll be 35. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Lernerville's cool. It's a very, very technical track, though. So if you're not up on the wheel, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. But
it's not that technical. Trevor Frank can do it just fine.
Sage Fruit Sprint League tomorrow, 410s at Charlotte. 410s in the Sprint League tomorrow. Winged 410s. And then
I won't be there for that one.
Pro Planning Pro League is at Road America Indy Pro 2000s. I feel like we could just hand the trophy to Will.
Don't say that.
Unless Sean Rahal shows up.
No, I'll wreck him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then the midgets, I don't know. I don't know where it is. But it's on Sunday. So the Phantom Outlaws race is tonight. That one is going to be broadcast as well as our Sage Fruit Sprint League. Keep in mind, our broadcasts from now on will be on our YouTube channel.
All right.
Well, we got cut off there for a second. Our good buddy Trevor was trying to call Will for some reason. And I think that's just about going to do it. But we have our E-Series this week, like I was saying. We're going to have those races broadcast on our YouTube channel instead of Facebook. We've had a lot of issues with Facebook kind of booting our streams and stuff like that for weird reasons. But yeah, stay tuned after this. We've got an awesome interview with Sean Rahal. He dropped some insight into his upcoming plans as well as how he progressed this season. It was a lot of fun talking to him. He's one of our good buddies, so... and also, like, in so facto, my boss. So, kind of have to appease him every once in a while by having him on the show. So, that was really fun. But you got anything else?
I have nothing. I'm just looking forward to going embarrass myself in the 410 League.
Yeah. Be sure, if you're watching on Facebook right now, be sure to tune into that a little bit later. We'll post the stream link on our Facebook page. You can click on it, go right to our Facebook, or right to our YouTube channel. And, oh, that was a nice voice crack, so... probably about time to wrap things up. But yeah, thank you all for listening. Keep it flat out.
And talk to you next week.
Welcome everyone to our Gassroots Project Hot Seat segment. Wisconsin-based Gassroots Project is a nonprofit organization working to strengthen and grow grassroots racing. Since 2017, the project has produced several short films and articles in addition to financially assisting racers and tracks through awards and sponsorships. To donate or learn more, visit GassrootsProject.com. And we're very happy to welcome back to the Gassroots Project Hot Seat segment, Sean Rahal, 2020 IRA Sprint Cars Rookie of the Year, and our good buddy. How you doing, Sean?
Good, man. Good to be home with you guys. I hope it's as warm in Wisconsin as it is down here.
No. It's literally freezing here.
Yeah, it's freezing outside. Yep. so we're going to, yeah. No, we'll shut that down right off the bat. But yeah, I think Will's got our first little question.
Yeah, here. To start us off, let's get the meat of it out of the way. Sum up your 2020 season, your ups, your downs, what you learned, what you didn't. Just kind of run us through 2020.
I think a big thing that I learned, we got pretty good in the heat races towards the end, but how to chase the track early on. You know, it's really easy at the end of the night, in my opinion, when the track goes two lanes to figure out where you want to run. And just being able to judge, make the right calls from in the car with your crew chief. You know, being able to tell Randy, like, you know, when I thought I was tight, but it was really gear tight, you know, and then we free it up. And then it doesn't really do anything because we need to change the gear, not, you know, change the rear sway bar, you know, stuff like that. It was a huge learning year. I think it was the hardest conditions to have a learning year too with COVID, you know, and just not knowing whether the race was going to get canceled or whether you were going to actually be racing that weekend. It's very hard, or at least it was hard for me, I would say, coming from what I've came from, to just be that, have that inconsistency and then have to be prepared for kind of anything on the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, in terms of your results, I mean, it was kind of, you got really consistent there in the middle of the season. You kind of hit your stride and just after the first few like openers out like at Park Jefferson and Jackson, where you had a lot of bad luck and stuff, you kind of hit your stride in the middle of the season. And then towards the end got kind of a little more up on the wheel, if so to speak. But just kind of talk us through what that was like, kind of struggling really early on in the season and then just kind of getting up, getting some top tens and even a couple pole positions.
Well, I think one thing we noticed is we didn't know this until a week or two ago. One of the motors that we were running that we thought was a great motor wasn't so great. Had some things going on inside it. So we hit our stride. Kind of hit our stride early, I think, with the good motor when we were qualifying on the poles. And then we, from there, put the other motor in, thinking that one should be good. And then we realized after it went back to Jamie Moyle, there's some issues going on inside it. So it's like I think we went to where my potential was originally, and then we made the car better and I raced better, but I didn't have the equipment for the last, you know, 8 races of the 410 season, which honestly, I think with, you know, you look at like Beaver Dam when we had that drive up to 7th, and I think it would have been more, you know, with that lesser motor and stuff like that. I think it was really good confidence for the things that we're improving on besides for engine for next year. You know, like we weren't running, you know, some of the stuff that some of the guys up front have. We didn't realize how big of a deal it was until me and Randy were looking at weights and certain rolling weights and stuff like that. And now knowing what we hear from our engine builder, we're pretty confident that, hey, you know, I was up on the wheel those last couple of races. It just didn't, you know, results didn't show. But I almost, you know, my dad always said it. He's like, man, you know, if you can start and get decent results out of a lesser car when you get the good equipment, you'll be ready to roll. So I'm just kind of hoping that holds true here.
Yeah, for sure. And we talked about it the last time you were on the show, and you said something really interesting where you said that you don't have a light switch for dirt. I mean, at least you said that at the start of this season. And now we've seen you do like some coaching stuff on asphalt, and then even this the Legends World Finals just a couple weeks back, or was it this last weekend? I can't remember. But you know, you've gone back and forth from dirt to asphalt a couple of times. Do you have that light switch now?
I'd say so. The hardest part about that Legend car deal we did is I completely forgot that they were changing the tire at the end of last year. So on asphalt, tire, like going from an American Racer to a Hoosier, if it's on asphalt, is a monumental difference. So I struggled there a little bit, but other than that, it's finally kind of like, you know, we were running pretty good there at Riverside before we had that unfortunate getting run over. But yeah, I feel like now when I jump back and forth, it's just kind of like, okay, this is what car I'm in. You know, what I've been doing, I've been kind of exercising, watching videos of myself driving both, you know, before I get in that car. And I'll do that kind of the morning of to kind of, hey, this is where we're at. This is what we're doing. You know, kind of a little refresher. I know it kind of sounds rhetorical, but actually makes all the difference in the world just to kind of like, now I'm getting to the point where I probably don't have to watch the video, but watching the video just makes sure I'm on it by lap one.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that note, would you say your driving style has changed since the start of the 2020 season? Like maybe you'd pick up some stuff on the dirt and bring it over to the asphalt side, or do you think there's more of a disconnect between the two and you just kind of have to adapt in between cars?
I think there's more of a disconnect in the two. I think I'm actually opposite right now of what I was early this year. I think I'm actually, right now, I've kind of reached, I'm smooth, but I'm overly aggressive on the dirt, and smoothed out a lot on the asphalt. The results are improving with both being completely different than what we talked about on the last podcast. It's kind of interesting to see, like, now we're at the point where it's like, okay, we have aggressiveness in the sprint car. How do we dial that back? How do we dial that into like the right amount of aggressive? And then in the road course car, it's just, it just gets easier and easier. You know, I just roll off in that car, those cars now, and it's like my heart rate doesn't get above like 110.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's, you know, I think a big part of it was knowing how much I struggled early in the year jumping from dirt to asphalt. You know, I'd be like, all right, can I still do this? You know, obviously when I'm on the asphalt stuff, it's a job. So it's a little bit different, you know, like, you know, yeah, you want to win every sprint car race, but if you're P15 in hot laps, you can make it up in the heat race, you know. But in a road course situation, when you're coaching and testing, like I'm actually about to do Thursday for Radical Cup, I'm going to get like 3 or 4 laps, and I got to do the best lap possible and then make adjustments for my drivers from there. And so you don't really have time to say, oh, well, I'm jumping back from dirt to asphalt and like, give me an extra couple laps. It's like, no, we pay you. And if, you know, if you're not going to be prepared to do it, then we'll find someone else who can do it lap 3, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think all in all, everything has gotten improved a lot. And it's just been a lot of hard work and a lot of fine tuning little things, but I'm in a really good place right now and really excited about what we got coming next year.
It's funny that you mentioned being aggressive, because I wasn't there, but at the race at Riverside and in that heat race where unfortunately you had some contact, but the slider that you threw before that contact, start of 2020, Sean Rahal wouldn't have dreamt of throwing that slider into turn 3 at Riverside. But so that aggressiveness, do you think that just comes from getting some more confidence and just seat time in the sprint car, you know? And we even saw it in the IRA a little bit in, you know, either a dash or a heat race or in a loaded heat race, actually, you know, where you exchange some slide jobs with, you know, guys like Scotty Thiel and Jake Blackhurst and stuff like that. You know, like I said, the start of 2020, Sean Rahal, I don't think would have been one either able to do that or confident enough to do that.
I can tell you exactly, be honest with you, you know, like my partners are really buckling down for these next couple years, the next 2 years. But they've also all had the talk with me like, hey, we know rookie of the year is great, but you got to start like, you know, we can't, you know, I keep saying that I have time to build this program. And they're like, this isn't going to be around forever. You know, like we're helping you out because, you know, you're doing stuff for our businesses and stuff like that. But like, We want some wins, and I think that, you know, Randy Sipple is one of the hardest guys in the pits. If anyone's driven for him or anyone's been around him with his drivers, he expects excellence. And I could say that lap, I was pretty pissed off on the start because, you know, you're not – in all the series we ran in the Midwest that are proper racing series, you're not allowed to pass before the start finish line. Mm-hmm. And in that series, apparently, as soon as the leader fires – I found out I was corrected afterwards, and this is why everyone should read the rule books, even though, you know, I think this rule is stupid, is that when the leader fires in that series, even though the green flag's not out, you can go wherever you want and do whatever you want. So I was in that position, and then I look underneath me, and a good buddy of mine, Max Stamba, was underneath, and you know what Max has done. You know, he's won all-star races and stuff like that. That was the first time that, like, you know, like when Scotty was underneath me and we were running at Beaver Dam, I was holding on, you know, even a couple months ago, but I was trying and holding on. Say, in that moment, when I saw Stamba underneath me, I'm like, he ain't passing me today, I'm sorry. You know, like, it's not, you're not looking at it like I was, where learning, it's not showtime yet, but it's time to go to work. And I think that pressure's on. I think I'm driving like that, but I think I've always been done really well under pressure. And now that I think I got the experience and I kind of took the, you know, small bites, now when I take big bites, they're starting to stick, you know. So we learned a lot. I'm real confident with our car right now. I set up some of the stuff that we changed, some of the stuff we figured out about me. Our engine program is going way up compared to what it was this year. I was quite surprised to find out some of the things on the dyno of where we were and how, you know, what we were actually racing with. You know, so we're really looking forward to what's to come.
And then switching gears here back to the Legends cars a little bit. I kind of know what you've got going on in terms of the Legends stuff for 2021, but maybe let the people know at home, what's your plan for the Legends cars? Because I've never really gotten into Legends cars that much, but just watching some of the videos from AMP and stuff like that, like they put on a pretty good show.
I actually have driven my crew chief in Legends cars right now, Nick Pistone. I've driven for Tom Pistone in late models and Chase Pistone, both of his brothers, actually. And he's crew chiefing for Mart Haler Chevrolet and Mart Haler Auto Brokers out of Minnesota. And he asked me, he said, "Hey, Sean, I haven't been in this legend car game in a while. What do you think about coming back?" I said, "Yeah, if there's anything I can do around my sprint car schedule, I'd love to do it." He said, "All right, well, let's see, let's go do a race and see what happens." Well, Road Course World Finals, originally we weren't going. We got news that week that they wanted me to come and start from the back anyways. And the relationship worked out really well. I really like Aaron, and I liked working with Nikki, even though we didn't really get to work together. It was more like, okay, I did this in the three laps they gave you, then we're going to throw this at it. But the Pistones have kind of been a second family to me over the years after driving for them for late models. So it's kind of like, I grew up in both of his other brother's shop for a couple years. So now I'm just kind of like going with the other brother that was around every now, and it's kind of like family, but it's pretty cool. So we're continuing. We're going to do a race at Atlanta Motor Speedway here, get me back on the oval and do some quarter mile running just to kind of get back in the feel of things. And then, after we start the year with the All-Stars and USCS in the sprint cars, we're actually going to follow that next week up and run the Winter Nationals, the INEX Winter Nationals Auburndale. Auburndale Speedway, which we won the championship in 2011 down there, the Winter National Championship. So it's good. That's going to be cool. And then, as long as we keep doing that deal, and everything keeps working out, we're going to do the summer shootout, so I'll be able to race the sprint cars on the weekends. And my kind of sights to it is they're really hard cars to drive, and you've got to be, you got to be really precise with every move you make to win in those things, especially because they got bumpers. And I mean, you saw it if you watched that race, that these guys, I got a big X on my back coming back to this, and they have no problem taking me out. So I just think it's going to be good to be wheeling something on Mondays and Tuesdays, which are my off days, and it's kind of interesting. We put a deal together after my deal was kind of done that Zach and Noah King, Noah's focused on hockey right now, but Zach King's kind of going on the driver that I'm raising in road course racing. We're trying to get a more racing experience, so he's going to be doing some of that legend car races. He'll be in the Young Lion group when I'll be in the pro group, but he'll be doing some of that with me. So kind of came full circle in that deal.
That's awesome.
Now just to kind of add on to that, I know they have a legend series around here in Wisconsin where you normally race a sprint car. Will they follow you up here and maybe race a double duty night at Beaver Dam Raceway or 141?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. They're out of Minnesota. The race team is actually out of Minnesota. So they're coming down here for all this stuff. And we talked about it, and Aaron's like, "Hell yeah." I think the thing with Nick, I've won road course nationals now. I blew up leading oval nationals back in the year or back in the day in 2010 and 11. I blew up both years leading halfway through the races. I think now that I'm on dirt, one of the things that Nick and me have talked a bit about is like, hey, how cool would it be to be one of the only drivers that have won, road course, asphalt nationals and dirt nationals. So we haven't really figured out what we're going to do with the rig and how we're going to have a dirt car up there, but that is being talked about how we're going to be able to do double duty at Beaver Dam, and Randy thinks it's cool too, and Randy's all about it. So you might just see a legend car dropped off at Sipple's shop to take to those occasions, and Nick might just show up in a car.
That's awesome.
And on that kind of note, what are your plans for the sprint car in 2021? Are you chasing IRA points? Are you gonna go about elsewhere, or what's your deal with that?
I think right now, I don't think I know. Right now we're going to chase the IRA championship. This time not for rookie of the year, obviously for overall points. We're going to start the year with the All-Stars and run their first six races because it's fortunate for me. It starts in Georgia this year, which is kind of cool. So we're going to do those two races, then we're going to follow them for the first six races. Do USCS at Hendry. Those their first couple of races to start off the year. IRA full-time, and I know our schedule will consist of 47 410 races for sure. And then with the 360 is going to be, I think we're going to try to do 13 races pre-IRA opening and then another 25 races throughout the year. Hmm. I think that kind of is where we're at. So our number is 75, really, if you hear that out, that we're trying to hit. And, you know, we're going to see what happens. But right now that's where it seems to go. And then, you know, Steve's obviously good to us. Our main thing is going to be that. But, you know, I think there's a good possibility when you see, like, the World of Outlaws come to Wisconsin, we might try to use that time to get down to Knoxville and get some time in Knoxville and stuff like that. Just because, you know, I'm a firm believer, same reason we're not going all-star racing if we're going to run 75 races next year. You know, being able to get the speed up, get the talent up, get some success under our belt, and we're just now about to get there. So, you know, showing up to a World of Outlaw race to just make the race and make a grand doesn't really do anything for us. We need to kind of focus on our program and keep taking the bites out of it the right way.
Absolutely. And with that IRA schedule and stuff like that, you know, there's a couple guys that, you know, have been dominating the series. You know, obviously there's a lot of rumors around Bill Balog and Scotty Thiel leaving this year. And it kind of, I mean, you've still got the Scotty Neitzels and the Jake Blackhursts and stuff like that, the guys in the series that can contend for that title and that have won titles already. But with Bill and Scotty possibly leaving, it throws that championship wide open. I mean, is it too early to start thinking about those things? You know, getting a really, really good championship finish. I mean, obviously, sixth this year was fantastic for your first 410 season. But is it too early to start thinking about, you know, points chasing for next year?
I'm not gonna lie or sugarcoat it. We're showing up going for a championship next year, and that's a tall order out of my end and out of Randy's end. But you know, a lot of those guys aren't going to even have the opportunity that I am to race that many races, you know, race 20, 25 races before IRA even starts. And my partner's put together a really good program for me. I'm really thankful for that. And I'd be lying if I told you guys, like, we'll see what happens. But we're showing up, and I know we haven't won yet. But, you know, our speed's there. We just got to put the whole night together, and I think some of the things I showed in USCS racing, you know, for people who were at Chatham and saw how I raced at Chatham and that the final feature and some of the stuff that I learned, I think by the time we get back up there, we're going to be ready to fight. So that's the plan.
That's awesome. All right. And then for the last little part, or did you have something else?
No, I didn't really have anything else.
Awesome. So for this last little part here, I mean, you've been talking about your partners a lot, and we talk about your partners a lot too. And I know you've got some sponsors and people that you need to thank.
Yeah, for sure. You know, start with the King family. They've came on board. They're helping. They're actually becoming a car owner from a big race car that we're getting for next year. I want to thank Abel Roofing. The Bullens, SU Group, Big Machine Vodka is going to be back next year, and I'm as a brand ambassador part for me. So they're not going to be on the car necessarily. They'll be on in a small way, but they're still going to, we're going to move that to a brand ambassador role. And same thing with Big Golf. You know, obviously they helped us through this year. And Arai Helmets, HRX. And we got a couple new partners that we're about to welcome on. One being Quality Freight, two being Kick-Ass Beef Jerky. And we're about to start welcoming them on. And you'll see that kind of announced in the next couple weeks by Mass Auto Sports. So once we get all that firmed up in early January, we have more partners that we want to thank for instilling the faith in me and letting us chase dreams.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time. And I'm sure we'll talk to you probably a lot just after this interview, but also just in the future as well. And take your easy. And I'm sure we'll see you on the show again before next season starts.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate you.
Hey, not a problem. Good to have you on.